is one chapter completed, and the next chapter is opening up. For me, you know, when I opened up that rookie contract, that was, wow, this is it. And I completed that chapter. Now it's the next chapter.
They throw a, what could be a double pass. This is Boyd. Now he wants to throw it back. And the ball picked off by the Jaguars. Josh Allen, has he done enough this year yet? He picked off the double pass and ran it back inside the 10-yard line of the Cincinnati Bengals.
Extremely honored, extremely blessed and humbled to be even given a contract of this size. And, you know, I'm just totally blessed.
1010XL 92.5 FM presents Jaguars Today with your hosts Mike Dempsey, Tony Smith, and Dylan Denmark.
All right, 33 hours, 58 minutes, and 50 seconds. I happen to see ESPN's countdown clock. Tony, as we came on the air,
that's amazing.
Right there. That's pretty good, right? So my internal clock, I have it tuned until whatever comes. What comes on TV on Thursday night? What's on TV? Anything good?
Major League Baseball.
Yeah, but I mean, yeah. Like,
other than that, like I couldn't tell you.
Regularly scheduled program.
No,
that used to be must see TV night. That was the night to watch TV.
It was.
Well, network TV.
Yeah.
Before the proliferation of 8 billion channels.
Some version of CSI, I'm sure, is on.
I bet you're right.
Yeah.
I bet you're right. The little chuckle you hear right there is Taylor Dollar, third host today. Well, it seems that way.
Yeah.
Just because the Bears have all the picks in this draft. Mike Dempsey, Tony Smith, good morning, Taylor. How are you?
Good morning. I'm good. How are you? I was telling you guys how pumped I was. This is my first media mock draft with you guys, and I'm pumped.
I know. Well, and you get to select the first pick and the ninth pick. We don't allow any trades. Mm-hmm. If you want to send those both to Jacksonville, like, I don't know, 17 and future considerations, we'd be open to that, and we could break the rules right here on the program. But I'm going to say no, we're not going to do that. And then you guys, Helmets and Heels, you'll do the second half of the draft today. So what's the plan? Like, we're going to end with the Jags on the clock.
Yep.
And I know Franchi's making the selection for the Jaguars.
So right out
probably the
gate.
The highlight of his career.
I know.
I mean, honestly.
Has to make the Jags pick.
What has he ever done Jaguar related?
I know. So we're pumped. Yeah, that's what we went through a couple options. It landed with Frank. But Frank obviously is very in the know. He has his opinion on where he wants to go at 17. So we figured it'd be a good way to kick off our show. Frank Franchi making the selection for the Jags.
All right, now, Tony. Mm. I cannot let that pass without stirring the pot that is in
front
of me.
He wasn't the first option.
Who were these options we went through?
Like, when people hear this, they'll say, oh, okay, because our first one was Fred Taylor, but Fred Taylor's on a plane. So he couldn't do it because he was in flight.
Gotcha.
Yeah.
All right. Well, that's fair.
Yeah.
I think.
Well, Frank works with the co-host that's won several polls of ours as to who's picking for the Jags in our media mock drafts. Hayes Carline. Several times.
Yes.
You know, has been our guy for that kind of thing. So they'll have to duke that out this afternoon.
Hicken used to be our guy until he wasn't our guy.
Yeah.
And then, you know, he felt like there were shenanigans in the polling.
Yes.
And what happened was we had four names in the poll, right?
Mm-hmm.
Like, basically trying to eliminate the bottom vote getter, right? So Hicken won the poll. Okay. So the three move on to the next one.
Mm-hmm.
Hicken won the poll. So then the two go to the runoff. Hicken lost the poll.
Oh, no.
And he goes, wait a minute. This isn't fair.
How did this happen?
So anyway, Frank will be picking for the Jags. We've got correspondents for all the teams that cover them, and that's kind of the idea. We don't know. They don't know for sure. We all sit here. We cover the Jags. We could give you a bunch of different names, even with what we know will be available at 17 after you get through that process, 16 names coming off the board. So, all right, well, we will do this. We've got them all lined up. Pockets, you feeling confident today? Everybody going to answer the phone?
I think so.
Okay.
Have me up at noon. I'll let you know.
That's like 37% confidence, I feel, emanating out of the
control
room.
I walked through the room over there this morning, and I told ET, I was like, I bet you miss doing the show with us every day except today.
Except today.
Yeah.
Well, that's pretty much the way it is for all the producers. All right, so shall we get the proceedings underway?
Let's go.
Let's do it. All right, with the first pick, the Chicago Bears are officially on the clock. Ladies and gentlemen, Taylor Dahl of 1010XL has joined us. Now tell it. People are like, some will know that you are a Bears fan, and I know you support the Jags and all that, but you do a Bears podcast as well, so tell us about that.
Yeah, so I do a podcast for SB Nation called Making Monsters. Making Monsters is all based around during the season, I kind of pick a player who's performing well or sometimes not well, just to kind of highlight what's going on with the Bears. And I talked to former coaches and high school coaches, college coaches, dads, brothers, sisters, moms, and just kind of get their path to the NFL. So it's really cool because you get their story outside of some of all football. And of course, we highlight what they're doing on the football field, but it's been really fun because I've talked to all sorts of coaches who have known these kids since they're 8, 9, 10 years old. And, you know, even some of them say back then they knew they'd be NFL players. So it's fun to get that type of thing. And then offseason's very draft based. I've done a lot, about 35 different prospects I've covered the last 3 weeks for the Bears. So there's a ton of talk about what they'll do at 9 mainly. And that's what I've been kind of focused on.
Yeah, I gave Taylor the warning, Tony. Please don't put this thing off the rails immediately with the first pick.
I see Tony's written down the
name. I have written down the name.
I've got the tweet ready to hit send.
I have written down the name. Now, she can throw a curveball if she wants. It's her mock draft.
You can throw a curveball at 9. Please don't throw a curveball at 1.
But along those lines, obviously, you're going to go quarterback here at number 1 with the Bears. What do you not want to see happen in the next 7 picks before the Bears are back on the clock at 9?
I do not want all 3 wide receivers to be gone. That's my main thing. Other Bears media, other Bears fans feel different. There are different position groups they'd rather go. I personally say having a room where you're bringing in a new quarterback with DJ Moore, Keenan Allen, and let's say a Rome Odunze or a Malik Nabers or a Marvin Harrison Jr. is an offense that would be really fun to watch. So that's the one thing I really don't want to see happen, even more so probably, and we talk about it here, Jags doing it, but somebody trading up to just right before them at 8 and snagging one of those guys would hurt for them, but there are obviously other options at 9 that the Bears also need. So.
Sounds to me like the Bears should have won 2 less games last year.
Well, true, right? I mean, you got to think ahead, a little forward thinking here. But at least they were able to turn Justin Fields into a 6th-round pick. So they did well with that, it seems. All right, in all seriousness, you know, Ryan Pohl said, hey, we don't have to trade down. We're fine with the picks we have. Everyone postures right now. How likely do you think the Bears are actually maybe even eager, particularly if you get the scenario where the top 3 receivers are off the board, to use that 9th pick to accumulate more?
I think that would be the scenario where you would see it happen. If those 3 guys are gone and someone's making a call, just because that next level, the position group that the Bears need, you could possibly get at 11, 12, 13, 14. I'm not sure how far he would trade back, just because I genuinely feel, just from the way that Ryan Poles has spoke this offseason and all of his press conferences and the moves he's made, he thinks the Bears are close to being really competitive in this division. And if he thinks that, then you wouldn't want to miss on one of the blue chip guys that you'll get in the top 10 and take a chance of having to maybe risk one of those top players in a mid round. But I think that if the 3 wide receivers are gone, he may slide back a little bit, depending on compensation, obviously.
It's certainly less likely now that they would move out of that number 1 pick. But maybe a few months ago when they still had another quarterback there, you know, there were people talking about, can somebody get to that number 1 overall pick? Do you think that conversation around Justin Fields, I know we haven't had the chance to talk to you about the way that whole situation played out. It is what it is. Mm-hmm. They're going to draft the quarterback at number 1 tonight and go forward with that. But for you, you've watched the last 5 years.
Yeah.
You had a quarterback who they drafted in the first round, took him to the playoffs, right? And Mitch Trubisky, for whatever that's worth to Bears fans, but did get that done. And it did. 2 years ago, halfway through the year, they were talking about Fields MVP.
Yeah.
You know, and now he's being traded for basically nothing, just as a Bears fan reacting to all of that happening.
It's such a unique situation because the Bears don't have the number 1 pick because they absolutely sucked last year. They have the number 1 pick because of what Ryan Poles was able to do last offseason, obviously, in that trade with the Panthers, and Bryce Young not being able to get much done this season, whether that's for the offensive line and other things or him just not being able to play to the standard some thought last year. But so I feel like it was almost a where this has been thrown in our lap, and the Bears have tried so many years of quarterbacks. We can go through the long list of quarterbacks the last 10-15 years the Bears have had, but when you look at the main ones in Jay Cutler and Mitchell Trubisky and Justin Fields, the Bears have given up draft compensation for all 3 of those guys, and it didn't work out. And now you are almost being given Caleb, well, let's just say, the number one quarterback you were being given, Caleb Williams or Jaden Daniels or Drake May or whoever, that quarterback at the number one spot. So it's almost, to me, a can't miss. I feel I'm bummed for Justin. I was personally one of the ones of a pro keep Justin just because I was seeing, I saw all of the progress. I was seeing where this roster was moving up to, and so it was a moment where I felt like it was just going to get better, but I do think that organizationally they just were like, this is an opportunity you can't later look back on and say you missed.
All right, do not spoil the suspense. Or come on, now people are waiting. Although the other half are going, make the damn pick. We know
who it's
going to
be.
It's going to happen tomorrow night. No, it's going to happen. Well, they don't care about any of these teams. They just want to get the helmets and heels today.
Yes.
But tomorrow night, the Bears will be on the clock, and then they'll take the full allotted time, and we all know what it's going to be. So with that, the Bears are on the clock. Taylor, you've got the first selection for Chicago. Who would you like to take?
Yeah, let's go Caleb Williams. USC quarterback.
All right, quarterback USC, Caleb Williams. Let's get the scouting report.
Caleb Williams, quarterback USC.
Snap back to Caleb. He'll run it himself to the 10. Down to the 5. He's going to go. Touchdown! The Trojans have come back to take the lead. How do you do?
Caleb Williams is one of the most anticipated quarterback prospects in recent memory. The former Heisman Trophy winner has even drawn comparisons to Patrick Mahomes with his incredible combination of arm strength and athleticism. He has all the tools you look for at the position and could be a franchise quarterback for years to come.
All right, watch the bums rush we give Taylor when we get to the ninth pick. Get in here, make the pick, get out of here.
Yeah, bye.
In all seriousness, we enjoy spending time with you all the time, Taylor. We love you here on Jaguars Today. And Caleb Williams, the pick for you for the Chicago Bears. So there we have it. And Taylor will be back to make the ninth selection coming up shortly. And then, of course, we'll be co-hosting Helmets and Heels as they have picks 17 through 32 today with Frank Frangie.
Yes. Happy media mock draft day, guys.
Thank you. Same to you.
Thank you.
Thank you. All right. So let's take a break here. And when we return, John Keim of ESPN Washington will be on the clock, followed by the Patriots and the Cardinals. Coming up in just a moment, Mike Dempsey, Tony Smith, and Dylan Denmark here with you. By the way, you can follow. I'll tweet out all the picks on our show at MD_1010XL. The at 1010XL account will tweet out all the picks. So you can follow along. Either way, both ways, however you like, and there you have it. All right, let's get down to it. Washington is on the clock. The draft continues in a moment. This is 1010XL, 92.5 FM.
Jaguars Today on 1010XL.
All right, no surprise right off the top, Tony, which is good. We don't want it wrecked right out of the gates, right? We want to see how deep we can get with this thing being semi-accurate. But Taylor Dahl for the Chicago Bears selecting Caleb Williams, the quarterback out of USC, which is no great surprise, and that's what we anticipate happens tomorrow. So that puts the Washington Commanders on the clock. All right, joining us now, he's familiar with that little jingle because he's an ESPN Washington reporter. Mr. John Keim joins the show this morning. Good morning, John. How are you?
I'm doing all right. How are you?
We're doing very well. Hey, listen, I think at this point we all feel it's kind of locked in. Washington's going to sit there, make the pick. We think we know who it's going to be. But how much throughout this process do you think they entertained a move down at all?
Oh, I think they entertained it because this is a group that will look at everything. And Josh Harris, the new owner, pretty much demands that they look at everything so they have every piece of information. And what if some team is willing to make you some outlandish offer? And what if you like a quarterback, whether it's Penix or McCarthy, that you could move down and get? But I don't think they're going to go anywhere.
With that being said, obviously you're kind of zeroing in on quarterback here at number two, but beyond quarterback for Washington, what are the biggest needs you see?
Left tackle is the chief among them after quarterback. And then you can look at, they need another cornerback. They absolutely want another tight end. And I think you could then put like either receiver or defensive end on there as well.
All right. John, a lot was made of the fact that Washington brought in multiple quarterbacks on the same day, and Jaden Daniels' agent seemed to get his feathers ruffled a little bit. Was that just kind of happenstance? Was it some big plan by the Commanders to test how these guys would respond, or was it just simply a matter of convenience in your mind?
So I think it's a couple of things. One, Adam Peters, the new general manager, they did this in San Francisco where they bring a big group in for visits at the same time. And when he was at New England, did that too. And Adam used to also work for New England. So I think some of it is just continuing what had been done in previous stops with that where he has been. So I think that's one thing. It's just that it's unique when it's quarterbacks, because I think quarterbacks sometimes kind of, or people think, and sometimes quarterbacks think they should be treated differently. I don't think it was a big deal, to be honest. I know there was stuff about like, oh, Jaden Daniel must have hated this. And that's not absolutely what I heard at all. I do know he asked about it and at the end of an interview and was okay with the answer, but it wasn't a contentious thing. I do think part of it was they want to see how people interact in a group. And then they took him to a Topgolf outing. I think Dan Quinn, the coach, the new coach, likes to see how guys compete. I don't think like that part of it was a big part of the evaluation process. I think the whole visit was just punctuation to the entire 3 months. But I'm pretty sure they had probably knew their guy before that visit. So I didn't think it was a big deal, but it was unique. And here's the other thing, whether it's right or wrong, we'll find out if they make the right pick.
All right, John, well, let's make the pick. Number two in our mock draft this year, Caleb Williams gone at number one. Where do we go for the Commanders?
Jaden Daniels from LSU, Heisman Trophy winner, dual threat guy. They've sought an answer at that position for decades, a long-term answer at that position for decades. And I think there's two things here. One, I've had other coaches tell me he's a passer who can run. I know Dan Quinn likes how quickly he goes through his progressions, and he once called him a game changer, and that's why he will go number two.
All right, there you go. John Keim is our ESPN game changer in Washington, and you can find John on Twitter or X at John_Keim, K-E-I-M, just like it sounds. He takes Jaden Daniels for the Washington Commanders out of LSU. John, appreciate the time this morning, and I have a feeling we're going to see it play out exactly this way tomorrow night.
I do too, and thanks for having me on.
You got it, buddy. All right, there you go. Let's get a scouting report on Jaden Daniels.
Jaden Daniels, quarterback, LSU.
Daniels going to keep it up the middle. He's free. 10, 5, touchdown, Fighting Tigers. 17-yard run for Jaden Daniels. Three rushing scores on the day, and the Tigers lead 37-20. Hey now!
Jaden Daniels won the Heisman Trophy after producing one of the most explosive dual threat seasons in college football history. 40 touchdowns through the air, 10 touchdowns on the ground, and nearly 5,000 total yards. Daniels has room to improve in the pocket, but few can compare with his raw athleticism.
All right, there you go, Jaden Daniels, pick number two. That means the New England Patriots are on the clock. Megan Ottolini joining us now from WEEI up in Boston. Megan, good morning. How are you?
Good morning. I'm doing terrific. How are you guys down there?
Fantastic. Ready to kind of get through it. We love the draft, but the buildup becomes a little tiresome at a certain point. So we're trying to find out what the local folks think is going to happen if it plays out a certain way. Obviously, you can't trade in our media mock draft, but if it is Williams Daniels 1 and 2, how open would the Patriots be to trading, or do you think they've locked in on a guy at number 3?
So from everything that we've heard locally, I would say if it goes Caleb Williams, Jaden Daniels, it's falling exactly how the New England Patriots want it to fall. Their guy appears to be Drake May. There's always a lot of smoke around the Patriots trading back because that's been Bill Belichick's way for decades. But it's the first draft without Bill Belichick really coming in and executing these really high-level trades and high-level picks. They need a quarterback. Drake May appears to have been their guy since the end of the collegiate season, if they could get him. So this is the scenario in which they can get him. I think that they're going to take Drake May.
You probably won't really know the answer to this question until we get into the season and see what it actually looks like for the Patriots on the field. But how different has it felt covering this team with no Bill Belichick at the helm?
Oh, it's incredibly different. I think so far it's been, you definitely see that this is an organization in transition with the Kraft family seemingly very eager to be back at the reins of the entire organization. At the same time, you have a first-time head coach in Jerod Mayo and a first-time de facto GM in Elliott Wolf, because keep in mind, Elliott Wolf, the man who is expected to execute all these high-level drafts and any trades that they might make in the draft, all these high-level picks, he doesn't actually have that title. He has the title of director of scouting. So he's actually still a little bit trying out to get that contract after the draft, which is a really unusual situation. All that to say, this is definitely a franchise in transition and a lot of guys who are trying to prove themselves for the first time that they're in control of this.
All right, Megan, I think we know now where you're going to head, and that's fine. You know, I think a lot of people anticipate this is the way it will play out with the first three picks. So let's make it official with the third selection for the Patriots. Who would you like to take?
Well, as I said before, it's absolutely no surprise. I would take Drake May for the New England Patriots. I think he is exactly the kind of guy that they're looking to put in with new offensive coordinator Alex Van Pelt's system that they're expected to run, going back to a little bit of his own rushing scheme. And Drake May, he fits the suit, as a lot of people around here like to say. He's 6'4", close to 230 pounds, cannon of an arm. I think they're taking him well aware that he may be a project, but knowing that, hey, you have Elliott Wolf coming from the Packers style of doing things, it's going to be challenging to sell to the fan base if you decide to sit him for a year and develop him behind the scenes. But as long as, I said before, he gets the contract that he wants with the Patriots as GM, I think that's something that the coaching staff is willing to be patient on.
All right, we'll find out if it plays out exactly like this and whether Drake May is putting on a Patriots uniform in the very near future. Megan Ottolini from WEEI in Boston. Megan, thank you for your time this morning, and enjoy the draft tomorrow.
Absolutely. Thank you, guys.
All right, let's get that Drake May scouting report.
Drake May, quarterback, North Carolina.
May, clean pocket. Now he rolls out to the right. He's going to try to go deep. Has a man there. Caught. And touchdown, Carolina. McCollum beats the coverage of Aiden Goosby for the 46-yard score.
Drake May has elite arm strength and ideal size. At 6'4", 230 pounds, he can make throws off platform and make plays with his legs. May's confidence in his arm can occasionally lead him to make risky throws under pressure, but he's an accurate passer with a prototypical NFL arm.
All right, there you go. Prototypical NFL arm, stature, size, the whole nine yards. So three quarterbacks off the board. 1, 2, 3. And in this scenario, probably the Cardinals would like to move down, but that's not available to them right now. So let's put the Arizona Cardinals on the clock. All right, Bo Brack is here with us covering the Arizona Cardinals for Phoenix Sports, where he's a podcaster and has been on the front row with that team for a while now. Bo, good morning. How are you?
I'm doing well. Can't wait to actually hear that jingle come tomorrow night.
Right? I mean, like, for you guys, what percentage would you put on the Cardinals actually exercising the fourth pick and not moving?
Man, that's a great question. You know, it really does feel like a coin flip. You know, is there going to be a team that's going to be aggressive enough to come up and meet general manager Monty Austinfort's asking price? Because I don't think he's motivated to move down, but he's open to it. I mean, you have to be overwhelmed by a deal. And there's certainly some teams that have the capability of doing it. One of them is the Minnesota Vikings, but they're coming up from 11. So that's a pretty strong trade down for the Cardinals. So he's got to weigh his options there, but it would be potentially for three first round picks, two this year and one in the future. Or, you know, could it be the New York Giants just a couple spots back? So I think Monty Austinfort definitely got a bidding war for this, but is somebody going to match that price? I think it's a definite 50-50 coin flip.
Bo, not a surprise, three quarterbacks off the board with the first three picks here in our mock draft today. So in this situation, say the Cardinals can't get out of it, who is the pick for the Cardinals?
Yeah, like I'll reiterate, I don't think it's something that they would be absolutely content with sticking and picking. And I think if they if they're going to sit back, they've got a prospect left on the board, the best non-quarterback of this draft class that they don't have to spend to their fan base. From, you know, our audiences, people would be up in arms if they passed on the ability to take a big-time playmaking wide receiver. So, you know, that's really what the consensus is around here. So Monty Austinfort, it's good to be him. He's in a win-win, I think.
All right, so who is that wide receiver, Bo? Got to have the name to make it official.
Absolutely. With the fourth pick in the NFL draft, the Arizona Cardinals select Ohio State wide receiver Marvin Harrison Jr.
As expected, but that's quite all right. Bo Brack, you can find out there on Twitter covering the Cardinals at his name, B-O-B-R-A-C-K, just like it sounds. Bo, we appreciate it. Cardinals will be a fascinating team to watch to see what they actually do pull off tomorrow night, but we appreciate your time this morning, buddy.
Agreed. Thanks for having me, guys.
All right, there you go, Marvin Harrison Jr. As if you need it, here's the scouting report.
Marvin Harrison Jr., wide receiver, Ohio State.
Quarterback to throw. Looks, fires into the end zone. Caught, Harrison, touchdown. There it is, 17-yard score. Kyle McCord, DeMarvin Harrison, the high school teammates hook up for the TD.
The son of an NFL Hall of Famer, Marvin Harrison Jr. tormented defenses in his time at Ohio State. He won the Fred Biletnikoff Award last season after compiling over 1,200 yards and 14 touchdowns. He has good size, outstanding hands, elite speed, and is an excellent route runner. In terms of prospects, he's as can't miss as they get.
So they say, we'll find out, but Marvin Harrison Jr., absolutely to the shock of no one, goes forth to the Arizona Cardinals. Caleb Williams, Jaden Daniels, Drake May, Marvin Harrison Jr., barring a trade in the top four, that's probably your most likely order, although not locked in. And we'll find out what the Chargers do next. Another team that could be motivated to move out of the number five spot. Mike Harmon from Fox Sports will make that pick. Chris Bisignano of Giant Insider will make the selection for New York. Then Tyler Rowland of the Locked On Titans podcast will follow. And D. Orlando Ledbetter then will be on deck from the Atlanta Journal-Constitution. Chargers, Giants, Titans, and Falcons. Straight ahead, it's the 2024 1010XL Media Mock Draft on 1010XL 92.5 FM.
Now more Jaguars today on 1010XL.
All right, first three quarterbacks off the board, followed by Marvin Harrison Jr. As you would expect in a mock draft with no trades, that's the likely first four picks that you'll find. Not written in stone, but that means we've got the Los Angeles Chargers on the clock. Our friend Mike Harmon from Fox Sports in to represent the L.A. Chargers this morning. Mike, good morning. How are you?
What's going on, fellas? Good to be back with you. Thanks for the
Yeah, good to have you. I know you told our producer, can I just yell trade? You're allowed to, but you can't do it. You can yell it. And I think that's what the Chargers would do here, right?
Well, I think it's just that interesting spot, right? Because you've got the offensive linemen and all the rumblings are that everybody wants to trade up. Well, Ault's the obvious guy, but the fact is you just re-signed Trey Pipkins. You already have Rashawn Slater. So you start looking at the board, you know, does someone want to come up and jump the Giants to try to get McCarthy or whoever the apple of their eye is? And so for the new brass there for the Chargers, it's all about establishing a new identity and really changing up the room. So would I be surprised offensive line? No, but in this scenario, you've got a lot of ways you can move things.
You got the three quarterbacks coming off the board. I don't think the Chargers are all that interested in the fourth.
Although they do say, their head coach says that McCarthy is the best player in this draft, Mike. You don't often get that guy at five.
You know, maybe he trades up to one and Caleb Williams, you know, becomes J.J. McCarthy becomes the Chargers guy at one. How about
awesome.
That?
Yeah.
Full chaos.
Yeah, that would be full chaos, no doubt about it. But with the three quarterbacks gone, Marvin Harrison Jr., not a whole lot of surprises there in the top four. You're making the pick for the Chargers here at five. Where do you go?
I'm going to look at their receiver room that got depleted this offseason. They finally said we can't have an off-turf Mike Williams around. Keenan Allen got shipped to Chicago. So Malik Nabers is the next off the board, replenish the supply for Justin Herbert.
It truly makes so much sense, as you just said, the way that wide receiver room is getting a massive overhaul. You've got the quarterback in place, so get him a number one weapon. Malik Nabers, the wide receiver out of LSU. Mike Harmon of Fox Sports, you'll find on the Twitter or X platform at Swollen Dome. And you could spell that one yourself. Otherwise, you probably have a swollen dome. So, Mike,
well, giant head. What can I say?
Hey, it's all good. You gotta keep all that info in there somewhere.
You know what? I wanted to draft another tough guy in line with the Harbaugh world, but you know, there's just no space for him here, guys.
Understood. We'll go with a soft wide receiver. I kid, Malik. I'm sure you'll be great. Mike Harmon, we appreciate the time this morning, buddy.
Be good, guys. Thanks so much.
All right, let's get that Malik Nabers scouting report.
Malik Nabers, wide receiver, LSU.
Snap back to Daniels. Has time. Throws towards the end zone to Nabers. Made the catch. Is he inbounds? Yes, he is. Touchdown, Fighting Tigers. Blew by the defender. Over the shoulder catch at full speed.
Malik Nabers shined in LSU's high-octane offense last season with over 1,500 yards and 14 touchdowns. He's LSU's all-time leader in receiving yards, a school that's seen its fair share of NFL talent at that position. Nabers can struggle against press coverage, but he's a dynamic athlete with elite speed alongside great ability after the catch.
All right, there you have it. Malik Nabers, two of the big three wide receivers are off the board. And with the sixth pick, the New York Giants are on the clock. All right, Chris Bisignano joins us now from Giants Insider Newspaper and Podcast. Chris, good morning. How are you?
I'm doing good. How about you?
We're doing well, man. This is scenario. I feel like we're asking everybody, what's your interest in sticking and picking or maybe moving in this scenario? Where there's one of the three receivers left, McCarthy is still out there. Do you think the Giants are more incentivized to try to add value, or do they look at it and go, "Man, we better get one of these guys right now"?
Nah, they need that X. They need that number one receiver. They're gonna draft. Excuse me, Nabers is off the board. They're gonna go with Rome Odunze, University of Washington.
What if Nabers and Odunze are both there? Do you have a sense of who their preference is?
Malik Nabers.
And why is that?
Because he's more explosive. They're looking for that Odell Beckham type guy again that they had years ago, and for some reason things didn't work out there. But Malik gives that explosiveness. He's the most explosive receiver in this draft. I think that's what Dave wants. He'll go with Nabers.
A lot of talk here in the last few days, especially about the Giants looking at quarterback potentially at this early in the draft. How seriously do you take that talk to replace Daniel Jones?
Oh, I take it very serious. I believe Drake May is a guy. I think that's the guy that would try to be aggressive, move up, and try to land. But obviously, if it doesn't work, if he's off the board, they're going to go in another direction. But yeah, there's definitely some seriousness. They didn't put all this work in for nothing. They're looking to get a quarterback at that up high in this draft. I believe Drake May is that guy. Drake May is a Dable type quarterback. A lot of resemblance to when Josh Allen came out, but it all depends on whether or not they can move up New England and all that. So we'll see.
Right. And we in our media mock are not allowing any movement around the board. So the way it falls, let's make it official, Chris, with the sixth pick in our media mock draft. Who is the pick for the Giants?
The sixth pick of the draft is wide receiver Rome Odunze from the University of Washington.
Love it. Chris and the crew can be found at Giant Insider on social media, and they do a great job. I have them on my SiriusXM show all the time. Chris, all the best. Thanks for the time this morning.
You got it. Enjoy the draft.
Thank you, buddy. All right. Sad for Taylor Dahl and all the Jaguar fandom as well.
The nightmare scenario has played out
for the
Taylor.
Giants. We get the scouting report on Rome Odunze.
Rome Odunze, wide receiver, Washington.
Snap to Penix, helmet high. He's going to throw it toward the end zone for Odunze. He holds on while being draped by a duck, and he flexes those muscles. That's a Biletnik Cup winner right there. Rome Odunze, a taker, and the Dogs have a 28-18 lead on Oregon.
Odunze had an outstanding final season at Washington, helping lead the Huskies to the national championship. He racked up over 1,600 yards and 13 touchdowns with over 100 yards receiving in 10 of 15 games. Odunze can win contested catches and is a tough runner in the open field. He's a phenomenal weapon and should immediately be a difference maker in the NFL.
All right, there you have it. Rome Odunze off the board, and the weeping and gnashing of teeth begins for everyone who wants one of the big three receivers, unless you are Arizona, the L.A. Chargers, or the New York Giants. And now, for the Jaguar fan base, the hated Tennessee Titans are on the clock. All right, joined now by Tyler Rowland of the Locked On Titans podcast. Tyler, good morning. How are you?
I'm doing great. The bleep there got me unexpected, but I think the Titans will get the last laugh here with the pick.
All right, well, we'll find out. Just tell us where they are in their feeling about Will Levis. I'm sure it looks like they're setting up to give him the opportunity to show he is the guy. How confident are they that he will be the guy for the long term at quarterback?
Well, I think confidence may not be the right way to judge it. They can be as confident as they want, but confident doesn't make success. So either way, the reality is they are not interested in a quarterback this year. It's not even on the radar for them. Their interest this year is seeing what they have in Will Levis and knowing going forward that if he doesn't perform to the standard that they want with a new coaching staff, tons of cap money next year, and a full complement of draft picks, they're going to be able to find a quarterback that they do want in the coming years. So whether they're confident or not may not matter much, but they're going to do everything that they can to give him an opportunity to show what he's made of in an environment that's suitable for an NFL quarterback, which they did not have last year.
Tyler, how do you view the biggest needs for the Titans going into this draft?
Well, I think they have needs up and down the roster. Let's not pretend that, you know, a couple free agency additions makes this a great roster, but I would be remiss if I didn't scream out offensive tackle. Not only do they need one, they need two. I don't think that they have a starting offensive tackle on the roster as things stand right now. So by far, you could talk edge, you could talk wide receiver, you could talk linebacker, safety, things like that. But the need at offensive tackle, at both offensive tackle spots, is dire for the Titans.
All right, well, let's make it official then, Tyler. We know the name they're connected to quite frequently. That player is available. You are on the clock for Tennessee with the seventh pick. Who would you like to select?
With the seventh pick, the Tennessee Titans select Joe Alt, offensive tackle, Notre Dame.
All right, there you go. Looking to lock up a blindside protector for Will Levis, so hopefully for a long, long time. Tyler, we appreciate it. We encourage folks to give you a follow at Tic Tac Titans, spelled exactly like you'd expect it to be. Tyler Rowland with the Locked On Titans podcast. We appreciate the time this morning, bud.
Yeah, thank you so much. Enjoy the draft.
All right, buddy. Let's get a scouting report on Joe Alt.
Joe Alt, tackle, Notre Dame. At 6'8" and 315 pounds, Alt was a near impenetrable force in college. In the last 2 years combined, he allowed just one sack in 26 games. With elite physical ability and technique, he's also outstanding in the run game, leveraging his size to bulldoze defensive linemen. Alt profiles as an elite tackle with the ability to be a perennial Pro Bowler.
All right, I think now, Tony, we're at the point where it's going to get really interesting, right?
Yeah.
I think we could have done this by ourselves up to this point and probably come
pretty much
maybe
not
come up
knowing
with the exact
if some team's going to move in to make a move,
right?
Like we can't predict, you know, Minnesota trading into the top four to come get their quarterback, anything like that in our mock draft. But those picks, not all that surprising, given that the teams had to stick where they were.
All right. Well, now the Atlanta Falcons are on the clock. This would not be a media mock draft without our good friend D. Orlando Ledbetter of the Atlanta Journal-Constitution. D.O., good morning. How are you?
Good morning, guys. Thanks for having me today.
Hey, we love having you on. Hey, got to get right to the point here. What's the likelihood we could entice the Falcons to trade down to 17 if one of the big three receivers is on the board so the Jags could come up and make a splash?
They're going to be answering their phone once they go on the clock. They're prepared. They know what people are looking for, and, you know, they kind of have the parameters of some things set. So if you come with something that going to be of value, they've already dealt with Jacksonville in the past with the Calvin Ridley deal. So they'll be ready to listen for you.
If one of those top three receivers are available, I would assume that is why someone would be calling the Falcons there. How interested is Atlanta in one of those guys?
Well, not really. So Brock Bowers or Duze might be there when they're picking. So, yeah, they'll be ready to bail out and get back and maybe still get the defender that they like.
Well, is it, you know, we hear a lot about Latu Latu, if I'm saying it right, out of UCLA, D.O., that he seems to be the apple of the Falcons' eye. If they do go edge rusher, are you convinced Latu is the guy they like?
Yes, I am. He was at the University of Washington with their defensive coordinator, Jimmy Lake. And, you know, he was the guy who made the announcement that he had to medically retire. So they got better information on him than they do the other two top edge rushers, Dallas Turner and Jarrett Verse. All three are projecting to be pretty good players here in the National Football League. But we know the connections. We know the production. And they just have to be fine with his medical information to pull the trigger on that pick.
Well, you have the opportunity now. Seven players on the offensive side of the ball have come off the board in our mock draft. So what do the Falcons do at number eight?
At number eight, the Atlanta Falcons will select Leautu Lata, defensive end, UCLA.
All right. Hey, Dio, how much would corner be in play, or would it be? Is that too early for the Falcons to consider corner at that spot?
Yeah, it's a little rich for Quinyon Mitchell or Terrion Arnold. They did have Terrion in the building. And you can get the same player a little bit later in the second round.
All right, my man. Well, we've got through D. Orlando Ledbetter, Lea Tulatu of UCLA going to the Atlanta Falcons. And you can find D.O. on Twitter or X at D. Orlando AJC, of course, for the Atlanta Journal Constitution. D.O., thanks for the time as always, man.
Sure, no problem, guys. Thanks for having me.
You got it. Enjoy the draft. Let's get a scouting report on Latu.
Latu Latu, edge rusher, UCLA.
Latu coming in hot on Williams. He's got him! Sacks him back at the 13-yard line. You can smell that one from all the way up here. Latu was just revving his engine, ready to get down the block, and he just teed off on Caleb Williams.
Beginning his college career at Washington, Latu suffered a severe neck injury in 2020 and temporarily retired from football. He then transferred to UCLA, returned to the field, and made an immediate impact on the Bruins' defensive front. Last season, he led the nation in tackles for loss per game and led the Pac-12 in sacks. There is still some concern about his medical history, but if he stays healthy, Latu should be a dangerous pass rusher in the NFL.
All right, there you have it. Latu Latu, and you know, good intel there with the coaching connection, right? Mm-hmm. Going back to his days before he transferred to UCLA. So and that's been all the buzz, Tony, that they love Latu among the edge rushers.
Yeah.
D.O., pretty plugged in, thinks corner would not be a consideration. Now, that's if they stay. Very open to moving out of that spot.
Certainly,
at number
yeah.
eight. Now, again, with a board like this, you wouldn't care. Yeah, right? You're not looking to jump up there to get Dallas Turner, I don't believe, if you're the Jaguars. So, all right, we've had Caleb Williams, Jaden Daniels, Drake May, Marvin Harrison Jr., Malik Nabers, Roma Dunze, Joe Alt, and Latu Latu in that order. First eight picks. The Bears will be back on the clock with Taylor Dahl back in studio with us. When we return, we're halfway through our portion of the 1010XL 2024 Media Mock Draft. Helmets and Heels will pick up with the Jags on the clock at noon. This is 1010XL 92.5 FM.
Everything you need to know about the Jags. Jaguars today on 1010XL.
All right, the shocker of the Media Mock Draft is we're pretty much on time so far, which is nice. We're eight picks deep. The Chicago Bears, courtesy of our own Taylor Dahl, took Caleb Williams, the quarterback out of USC. John Keim of ESPN took Jaden Daniels, the LSU quarterback for Washington. Then it was Drake May from Megan Ottolini from WEEI Radio in Boston for the Patriots. Bo Brack from Phoenix Sports picked Marvin Harrison Jr. for the Arizona Cardinals. You had Mike Harmon of Fox Sports Radio going Malik Nabers, the wide receiver for the Chargers. Roma Dunze from the Giants Insider Group went to the Giants there at six out of Washington. Joe Alt, the Notre Dame tackle from the Locked On Titans podcast. Tyler Rowland selected him for Tennessee. And then you just heard D. Orlando Ledbetter of the Atlanta Journal-Constitution selecting Latu Latu, the edge rusher out of UCLA at eight. You may say, that's crazy. You're seeing that a lot right there, connections being made to that. Helmets and Heels will pick up with the 17th pick. They'll go 17 through 32, but it's a very Helmets and Heels kind of episode here on Jaguars Today. So the Chicago Bears are back on the clock. Taylor, would you like a tissue?
Yes. Screw the Giants.
Screw the Giants. What about the Chargers? They could have gone linemen. Come on. Could have had one of those receivers.
But I know. I have honestly convinced myself in my head, like he'll be gone.
Dunze?
Yeah. And just because I don't want to get my hopes up, I'd rather it be a thing where it's a surprise that he is there, because these top three wide receivers, they're so good. And it's like someone's going to trade up ahead. I don't think it would be this list, because I do think somebody in that top eight is going to trade out somewhere,
but
who gets up and who?
You
wants
know, it'd be interesting.
Guys?
Like when Minnesota and Denver, Tony, get on the clock, do they just take JJ McCarthy flat out without even having to give anything to him? You know what I mean? Like,
yeah.
Or will they be like lukewarm on that idea?
And panic a little.
Yeah, but with that being said, Taylor, it would be somebody trading up to take probably the player that got picked, like where they got picked,
except for McCarthy,
right? In this draft, like someone could be coming up for a quarterback. You know, that would change the math on this a little bit, but. From your perspective, looking at the Bears, when those two receivers come off the board, if they do before eight, say, because the Falcons don't seem to be a threat to be going wide receiver, how anxious do you think the Bears get to make whatever move they have to make to ensure that they get one of those three.
Yeah, and that's an interesting thing. The problem is the Bears already only have four picks in this draft, and they have a long gap, though, but between that one. They don't pick again until the third round, no second-round pick because of Montez Sweat trade. But I think – so that's where the questions kind of lie is it – do, are they all in 100% on one of these wide receivers to where he kind of says, hey, I feel like this roster is good enough to where we don't need any more draft picks. We can take what we have, maybe give some future consideration, move up a couple spots and guarantee the guy. That's a question I'm not sure. I don't think that Ryan Poles in his history, that's the kind of way he's usually led. He's been a little more patient, more so a trade back type of guy. And so it'll be interesting to see, but I truly, with those three guys gone, there's other guys we've been talking about, obviously, at nine, and the rest are not offensive players. So
right. All right. So it does look like defense is going to be the calling card for the Bears here if the board fell this way. So let's get to the selection here. With the ninth pick, you're on the clock. Only one defensive player is gone. Who would be the apple of Chicago's eye in this scenario?
Yeah, I'm going to say defensive lineman out of Texas, Byron Murphy. I would say, number one, Ryan Poles just made comments yesterday in his press conference that he values defensive tackles higher than edge. He made that comment. I personally think the edge is a bigger need, but Byron Murphy lined up everywhere on the line at Texas, everywhere from nose tackle. He even had some reps at defensive end. He's good against the run. He can pass rush. He can do a little bit of everything. His one knock, I guess, is his height. They say he's not as big as you want on that line, but he was really productive at Texas, and it's a name that definitely a lot of people have been talking about. If it's not a trade-back situation here, if it was a trade-back situation, I would more say like Jared Verse or someone like that and trade a little back. But I think at this spot, if that's how the board is playing out, it would be Byron Murphy.
All right. Taylor can be found, of course, on the X platform at TayDoll1010XL. You'll hear her with her cohorts on Helmets and Heels picking up with the Jag selection at 17 today, and of course, the Making Monsters podcast is something you should seek out as well, as Taylor gives her thoughts with lots of great guests on the Chicago Bears outlook. Byron Murphy out of Texas, the pick. Taylor, thank you so much.
Thank you.
We'll see you at noon, and let's get the scouting report on Murphy.
Byron Murphy, defensive tackle, Texas.
On third down, shotgun snap back, under pressure, down he goes! The Longhorns come up with a sack, and boy, what a great time for it! Byron Murphy in on the tackle, a huge sack, it brings up fourth down.
Named the Big 12 Defensive Lineman of the Year and first team All Big 12, Murphy played a major role in the Longhorns' run to the college football playoff in 2023. He's an extremely dangerous pass rusher, combining speed and agility with high-level athleticism for his position. He's also a difference maker in the run game as well. Byron Murphy is poised to make an immediate impact in the NFL.
All right, there you have it. Byron Murphy to Chicago. That means the New York Jets are on the clock. All right, here to represent the 10th selection, Brian Costello, the New York Post, joining us this morning for a couple of minutes. Brian, thanks for the time. How are you?
I'm good. How are you guys doing?
We're doing very well. You know how this fell here. The big three receivers are off the board. Is there one of those guys enticing enough for the Jets to maybe pounce if he falls to a certain range? Let's say like Odunze is available at 8 and you want to jump the Bears. Would that be something that interests the Jets, do you think?
Yeah, I think that's possible. I mean, some people have talked about them moving up like to 5 for Harrison. I don't think they have the ammo to do that. They don't have a second round pick this year because they traded it for Aaron Rodgers. So, but moving to 8, you could probably do without the second-round pick. So that's possible, but I think the Jets have a lot of different directions they can go at 10, so I think they'd be happy to stand pat and see what comes to them there.
Well, a lot of people have circled tight end for the Jets here in the last several weeks, obviously. We'll see what the pick is here in just a moment, but how do you see the Jets' biggest needs heading into tomorrow night?
Yeah, it's not so much tight end, it's more offensive weapon. Just like they need – there's two things the Jets need, weapons for Aaron Rodgers and protection for Aaron Rodgers. And it's going to be interesting to see how Joe Douglas prioritizes that. So they went out and they signed Tyron Smith to play left tackle. They traded for Morgan Moses to play right tackle. Both of them are 33 years old. Both of them have recent injury histories. So you can't count on them playing 17 games this year. So, you know, the argument goes, okay, take a tackle so that you have insurance there. But now you're taking a player with the number 10 pick who may not play right away. And that isn't always popular. And that takes some patience if you're going to wait for them to get on the field versus hey, let's take a pass catcher, whether that's a tight end or a wide receiver, that could have an immediate impact and, you know, give a spark to an offense that was absolutely terrible last year.
All right, well, Brian, you've laid it out. We know where they stand, and if the board were to fall this particular way and a trade is not available to the Jets, how do you see them proceeding?
I think they'll take Brock Bowers, a tight end from Georgia. And, you know, you guys just mentioned it. I don't think tight end is necessarily a need for them. They have Tyler Conklin, who's a pretty good tight end. But Bowers is such a weapon on the offense, and they can move him around. He's not a traditional tight end. He's explosive. He scores touchdowns. And, you know, Jets owner Woody Johnson has talked a few times this season. Every time he talks to the media, he goes, offense, offense, offense. And I think when an owner says offense, 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 they're not talking about tackle, tackle, tackle. They're talking about a guy who's going to score touchdowns. And the Jets' offense has been terrible for a long, long time. And I think they're going to go out and try to get the weapon for Aaron Rodgers.
All right, we'll find out. I think a lot of people agree with that line of thinking. Brian Costello, the New York Post, can be found on the X platform at Brian Coz, C-O-Z. Make sure you get it right. Brian, we appreciate the insight. We'll enjoy following along with the Jets and everybody else does. Thanks for your time today.
Thanks for having me.
You got it, buddy. Let's get that Brock Bowers scouting report.
Brock Bowers, tight end, Georgia.
Dogs trying to drive down for go-ahead score. We're knotted at 20. Clock approaching 3 minutes to go. Edwards in the backfield now with Beck. They snap it back. Carson throws. There's Bowers open at the 26. Breaks away at the 20 to the 10. Angles to the pylon. Touchdown, Brock Bowers.
A dynamic playmaker, Bowers scored 31 touchdowns and racked up over 2,500 yards in 3 years at Georgia, helping them win consecutive national championships. With size, speed, and route running ability, he creates mismatches for defenses. An effective blocker, he can also contribute in the run game. Brock Bowers is a rare and versatile talent at his position.
All right, there you have it. Brock Bowers goes at number 10, meaning the Minnesota Vikings are on the clock. And joining us next here is Julia Daniels from KARE 11 Sports up in Minnesota. Julia, good morning. How are you?
Doing well. Good morning.
You know, this may be the ideal scenario for the Vikings, the way things have fallen, because there's so much talk about them making the move up the board, packaging their two first-round picks and maybe more to go get a quarterback. How likely, put it this way, if the Vikings have their druthers, will there be a trade up into the top 10 tomorrow?
If the Vikings have what?
Their druthers. If they have their choice of how it goes, are they going to make a move, say, into the top three or four picks to get a quarterback?
I say if they sit the way that you guys, your mock draft has gone, I say they sit here and they go for J.J. McCarthy.
Well, sure. But I'm saying if you don't know that, when the third pick, the fourth pick is on the clock, how hard are they going to be trying to make that move, not knowing how it's going to fall in the next seven picks or so?
I don't think it's possible for them to get the three or four. I could see them getting the number five pick.
Okay.
And then going for it there. But I just don't see a scenario where they can combine 11 and 23 and get that three or four pick.
Before we get the official pick here, Julia, I'm sure every time you're going on anywhere, they're asking you this question, but I'll ask as well. How close or far away is the deal with Justin Jefferson?
I think the fact that he was at a Timberwolves game the other night says we're getting closer to a deal being finalized.
All right, a little tea leaf reading right there. You know, he's out on the local sports scene. Mm-hmm. We'll see if that goes the way we expect it to. But the Vikings, I think, would be doing backflips if they were unable to trade up and the board fell this way. So, Julia, go ahead and make it official. Who are you taking for Minnesota here?
I think we got to go, like I said, J.J. McCarthy.
J.J. McCarthy, the quarterback out of Michigan. And then would you anticipate, like, an open competition this offseason? Do you think Sam Darnold would be the likely opening day starter, or do you think they'd be looking to rush McCarthy in there as quickly as he can get up to speed?
I think they will have Sam Darnold be the opening day starter, have J.J. McCarthy learn from him. It's a really complex offense that they run, and Kevin O'Connell likes to develop quarterbacks. I think that's one of his specialties. I think they'll give him some time before they throw him into the fire.
All right, beautiful. We'll find out if Minnesota, either through trade up or through happenstance, find themselves with J.J. McCarthy. Julia D. Daniels is the Twitter handle or the X handle for Julia, where you can find her as well up in Minnesota at KARE11 Sports. Julia, we appreciate the time this morning. I don't think it'll play out this way, but we won't be surprised if McCarthy somehow finds his way onto the Vikings roster. So thanks for the time today.
You got it. Thanks for having me.
All right, you got that. And let's get the look at J.J. McCarthy.
J.J. McCarthy, quarterback, Michigan.
J.J. takes the snap on third and 10, back to pass, looking, fires down the middle, and it's caught. Roman Wilson inside the five to the end zone. Touchdown, Wolverines. Wow, did J.J. thread the needle there?
In 2 years starting at Michigan, J.J. McCarthy went 27-1 and led the Wolverines to a national championship win. He has NFL arm strength and natural leadership ability, but playing in a run-heavy offense under Jim Harbaugh, some scouts wonder if he's ready to play at the NFL level. He only threw for 300 yards three times in 28 starts at Michigan.
All right, there you have it, J.J. McCarthy, Tony. It sounds like, at least up in Minnesota, they're talking about we don't have the wherewithal to get into the top four picks.
Sounds like it. Yeah.
You know, will Denver be a team that looks to aggressively jump up there? Will the L.A. Raiders, who they said tried apparently to get to two because they covet Jaden Daniels and were unsuccessful in getting there, so they're probably not going to be a major trade-up candidate. Would anybody consider moving up for a Michael Penix if four quarterbacks are off the board? Let's talk Denver when we come back here in a minute. We got the Broncos, the Raiders, and the Saints, and then we'll close our portion of the 1010XL Media Mock Draft with the Colts and the Seahawks. That will leave the Jacksonville Jaguars on the clock as Helmets and Heels kicks off at noon. You're listening to Jaguars Today. Keep it right here on 1010XL and 92.5 FM.
Jaguars Today on 1010XL.
All right, do we want to make a move up for a corner, Tony? I'm not sure the way the board has fallen this point for Jacksonville. We're 11 picks in. J.J. McCarthy, because, again, the nature of this media mock draft, we don't allow trades. Maybe Minnesota trades up for him, but in this scenario, he slides right to them, right? As somebody pointed out on the text line, I don't think he'll get past the Giants. Maybe. Maybe not. Don't know. But he did in this media mock draft, and that is what we are beholden to, and that puts the Denver Broncos on the clock. All right, joining us now from DenverSports.com, Andrew Mason is on the scene with the Broncos. Good morning, Andrew. How are you?
Doing all right. How you fellas doing?
Yeah, doing excellent. You know, I think we all enjoy the draft. We're all ready for it to get here, though, at this point. I'm sure you're the same. And so the Broncos are in an interesting spot there. Trent Baalke at the Jaguars pre-draft press conference last week talked about how, you know, 12-13, they might start itching to move up the board depending on how it falls. For Denver, what would you say the likelihood being of them to either A, move up, or B, move back, depending on what the scenario facing them is?
I mean, I think they're looking in both directions right now. I'm not sure they're going to get a good sense on whether they're going to have a plausible move up until you get to pick three or pick four happening. And then it's a question of, are they willing to pay the price? Mm-hmm. I mean, Sean Payton in the past has been very much of the philosophy that if you love a player, you move up to get him. And he may well be in love with J.J. McCarthy after the visits the Broncos have had with him and the time they've spent with him. But the question is, do they love him enough to sacrifice their first-round picks in 25 and 26, maybe even some player capital? Perhaps Pat Surtain is a name that they'd have to consider moving if they want to get up that high. And I think that's where it may be a bridge too far, and they end up settling for a player that they like rather than love. But the way y'all's draft is going here, if this scenario comes at the Broncos, I think if Trent Baalke calls about moving up for one of those corners, the Broncos are very much listening to that call and thinking about making that move down.
Well, with our scenario, the top four quarterbacks are off the board. So McCarthy goes right ahead of you in the scenario we had to Minnesota. So that's the fourth quarterback name off. So with those all gone, obviously the top three wide receivers are gone, but only a couple guys on defense have been selected to this point. You're on the clock. What do you think the Broncos do in this situation?
I think they would think about Jared Verse, but if no trade is possible and they're sitting there without a second round pick, I think they would swallow it. Fall hard, and they would take Bo Nix of Oregon in this spot.
Wow. Just out of curiosity, how will that play with the fan base? Are they conditioned that that's a possibility and, you know, to kind of maybe settle for the fifth quarterback in the draft, or would they be semi-excited about it?
I think there'd be semi-excitement. That's exactly the way I would describe it, because the reaction would be mixed. I think as a few weeks pass, you'd see people get on board and saying, okay, look, if Sean Payton believes in this quarterback, believes that he can run his offense, let's see where it would go. In the reality timeline where you can make a trade, I think in this scenario, they would try to move down, get a second round pick, and then take Bo Nix probably with that later first round pick, and then I think people would feel better about that because it's a roster that's got so many holes. It's a fair question to ask, okay, can you know if could they take Bo Nix at 12 with everything there? Now, that being said, the way this has gone, you know, I look at, you see Leatu Latu's already off the board, right? Byron Murphy's off the board, Brock Bowers is off the board. Looking at some of at those players, those positions where the Broncos could have used some help, the way this board seems to fall perfectly for a trade down, because you know they could go cornerback two, Quinion Mitchell or Terrion Arnold, who'd be the first cornerback off the board, the second cornerback for them on the roster behind Pat Surtain. But they just signed Levi Wallace this week. They've got a guy they picked last year, Riley Moss, who they trade up to get in the third round. They want to see where he goes. So I don't think corner, if corner is the best value position here at number 12, I think the Broncos are definitely itching to move down, because that's not an area that I think they're looking to target right now.
All right. You can find Andrew on Twitter or X at Mace Denver, M-A-S-E Denver, and working for denversports.com. The selection is Bo Nix, the quarterback out of Oregon. Andrew, thanks for the time this morning, buddy.
My pleasure, fellas. Have a good one.
We appreciate it. Let's get that Bo Nix report.
Quarterback, Oregon.
Bo, Bucky to his left. Ferguson in motion. Give it to... Hey, Captain! Bo's going left. Bo's going scoring. Bo does! What Bo does! And that is everything right.
Bo Nix had an outstanding final season at Oregon, throwing for over 4,500 yards with 45 touchdowns and just 3 interceptions. He also had the highest completion percentage in college football history, completing over 77% of his passes. Despite the huge numbers, there are some questions about his mechanics and awareness in the pocket.
All right, there you have it. Bo Nix, a bit of a surprise selection, perhaps, but that is the way they see it in Denver. If the board fell that way, the Las Vegas Raiders are on the clock. All right, Vic Tafer with The Athletic, covering the Raiders for quite a while. Vic, good morning. How are you?
Doing good, man. How you doing?
We're doing well. You know, a lot of talk about Michael Penix and the Raiders. We saw the reports that they tried to make that bold move for Jaden Daniels. I'm guessing the asking price just too astronomical.
Yeah, I think it's somewhere in the ballpark of 3 first-round picks, maybe something else. So I just think that's a little too much for Tom Telesco. It's your first draft as a new GM. I'm not sure if I'm going to go in and trade you 3 picks to the future.
All right, whether he's the pick here for you or not, how much legit interest do you think they have in Michael Penix?
There's some, for sure. I mean, obviously, you see his skill set. It has the best deep ball, which is definitely a Raiders forte, what they want to do next year more of. So I get it. I just can't. I can't see myself taking him at 13, but I definitely get the intrigue.
What chance do you give Gardner Minshew being the week one starter there for the Raiders?
Pretty good. I do think Aiden O'Connell gets a short, not a lot of respect. And last year, kind of played pretty well for a rookie. He got better as the year went on. He had a good offseason. So I think it'll be a good battle. I don't think Minshew's going to be by any means a lock to start week one.
All right. Well, Vic, we found ourselves where we found ourselves here. And as you said, you don't think you'd take Penix here, or you don't think they would take Penix here. You have the option if you want to. You also got a lot of defensive talent out there, so you know who's available to you. Who do you think the Raiders would select if it fell this way?
I think their biggest needs are offensive tackle and cornerback besides quarterback. So I think because the draft's so deep in tackles, they're going to go with a cornerback. They're the top one on the board. And Quinion Mitchell.
Quinion Mitchell, and just a little gasp of sadness out of Jaguar fans as he was sliding into our range there, Vic. But good selection there. Many have him as the top corner on the board, some even inside the top 10. Of course, Vic Taffer covering the Raiders for The Athletic. You can find Vic on X or Twitter at Vic Taffer, VicTaffer, just like it sounds. Vic, always appreciate the time and be interesting to see what the Raiders do, but thanks for joining us today.
Take care.
You got it, buddy. Quinyon Mitchell out of Toledo. Let's get the scouting report.
Quinyon Mitchell, cornerback, Toledo. Over the last two seasons, Mitchell was one of the most dominant cornerbacks in college football. He has ideal measurables and great size at 6 foot and 196 pounds. An elite man-to-man corner, Mitchell can also create turnovers with great ball-hawking ability. He'll face a huge jump in competition coming from a group of five school, but scouts believe he's ready for the challenge.
All right, there you go. Quinyon Mitchell out of Toledo, first corner off the board. Often that guy goes in the top 10, but with the proliferation of quarterbacks in this mock, wasn't going to happen. So we've got one more pick before the next break, and that means the New Orleans Saints are on the clock. From ESPN Baton Rouge, Matt Mascona joins us here on 1010 XL in Jacksonville. Matt, good morning. How are you?
Doing awesome. Looking forward to tomorrow.
Yeah, man. I think we all are. What are Saints fans buzzing about? Like, who is the guy they most hope is available to them at 14 if they don't deal?
It's definitely the guy that I'm going to pick. This Saints team is in desperate need of offensive line help. They realistically could go into camp with only two known starters, Eric McCoy and Cesar Ruiz. So Ryan Ramczyk's health is a big question. His career may be over. You don't have a left tackle. Andres Pete is a free agent who's unsigned, and I don't know if the Saints have a great appetite to bring him back. You drafted Trevor Penning a couple of years ago with a first-round pick, and he is all the making so far of a bust. So the Saints are absolutely in desperate need of offensive line help. And so everyone here knows they're just looking at who is the best offensive lineman on the board when they pick at 14.
With that being said, you're on the board for us right now, Matt. What is the pick for the Saints?
Yeah, the Saints will tell you, and I think this is who they will end up selecting tomorrow, as a matter of fact. It's offensive tackle Olu Fashanu out of Penn State.
My man knows how to pronounce his name, too, which I really appreciate. Everybody called him Fashanu. You'll learn tomorrow night. Matt, you know, I'm sure you've been looking at him very, very closely here. With only one offensive tackle off the board, is that right, up until this point?
Yes.
Would the Saints be open to a move back of a few spots? Say the Jags wanted to come up and get a corner ahead of Indianapolis. Would they be comfortable enough, even if they missed out on Fashanu, that there's enough there at offensive tackle that they'd be content to add some picks?
Logically, it makes sense. It's just not what the Saints ever do. Their strategy is move up. You're more likely to see a scenario where if there's a player they love fall in the 8, 9, 10 range, that the Saints package picks and move up to go get that player. They don't trade back. It's just not in their MO. The way that the Saints address the draft or approach the draft, and it's something that's controversial here every year among fans as we talk about it. The Saints don't value picks. They say we're valuing a player. We would rather package picks, be aggressive, move up, and they use future draft capital like credit. So the Saints do not have a 3 or a 4 this year, but they have 4 fifth-round picks. Like, there is a 0% chance the Saints don't make a 3rd or 4th-round pick. They're just incapable of being patient. So they're going to pack. Mika Loomis even said it yesterday on the record. Like, they've got 4 fifth-round picks. We'll look at packaging those together and moving up, which is, of course, what they're going to do. So, no, the Saints are not going to move. I would be stunned if they moved back from 14. The more likely scenario, if they were to move, it's a player they love falling, and they move up to get him.
All right, good intel right there. Matt, we appreciate the visit today. We encourage folks to give you a follow on Twitter. That's Matt, and his last name, M-A-S. I'm sorry, M-A-S or M-O-S? I got it two ways on my sheet here. Thanks, producer.
The vowels always get everybody, man. The good pie's on. It's M-O-S.
M-O-S.
I always say, if you can spell my name, you can find me on the internet.
Yes, I would not have been able to, but thank you, Matt. We appreciate it. M-O-S-C-O-N-A. Matt, enjoy the draft tomorrow. Thanks for the time this morning, buddy.
You got it, guys. Thanks.
All right, the Olu Fashanu. Let's get our scouting report.
Olu Fashanu, tackle, Penn State. Initially a basketball player in high school, Fashanu transitioned to football and became a dominant force on the Nittany Lions offensive line.
An elite athlete for his size, he attributes his quickness and burst with his time on the basketball court. He can also bench press 450 pounds and squat 605. He was a force at Penn State and should be a consistent starter as a pro.
He'll learn to. Okay, he'll learn to. Fashionu, you'll see. All right, so Olu Fashionu off the board. That means there's one of those top two corners still available. Oh, the Colts are on the clock. However, when we return, the voice of the Colts, Matt Taylor, then Dick Fain from KJR up in Seattle will select for the Seahawks, and we'll be done with our portion of the 1010XL Media Mock Draft. We'll give you a full recap coming up on where things stand. Frank Frangio will be making the pick for the Jaguars on Helmets and Heels, so stick around for their 2 hours for the back half of the Media Mock Draft. This is Jaguars Today on 1010XL 92.5 FM.
This is Jaguars Today on 1010XL.
All right, we're 14 picks deep in our 2024 Media Mock Draft. Roughly the 20th year we've done this. Honestly, don't know. It's somewhere in that ballpark, though. And
yeah, we should have texted Hack about that.
Yeah, we should have.
He wouldn't know.
Still time. Yeah. Anybody want to text Hack? Why don't you text Hack and ask him what year this is, Pockets, if you don't mind. And he would probably know. And he will cite what day of the week it was the whole nine yards. Anyway, we're on pick 15 here. The Jags will be on deck when we wrap up Jaguars Today. So that means Helmets and Heels will have Frank Frangie on to make that selection. But right now, the Indianapolis Colts are on the clock. And much like we have the Jags play-by-play voice making our selection, Matt Taylor is the voice of the Colts, and he is kind enough to join us this morning. Good morning, Matt. How are you?
Hey, good morning, guys. I'm good. How are you?
We're doing very, very well. You know, the Colts are a team that we have penciled in as a potential landing spot for a cornerback here, but could they be in play for wide receiver? I know, you know, like we all would like Marvin Harrison Jr. I've seen Jim Irsay say, of course, we'd like him. He's a legacy. Is there any chance that they make a move up the board, even if it's not as high to get to Harrison? If one of those other receivers lingers in the top 10 for a while, could the Colts be a player?
Well, it's funny you go there because, absolutely, the Colts are a team that might be in search of just more playmakers, especially guys that can win outside the numbers and push the ball down the field for Anthony Richardson and take advantage of his skill set and also help lighten the box for the running game with both he and Jonathan Taylor, you know, rushing the football. But absolutely, I mean, if there was ever a year I think the Colts could afford to move up in the draft, it would be this year. I mean, you consider just how prudent they've been in free agency in that they've re-signed a bunch of their own in-house free agents. I've never seen it before. I mean, I've been covering the league now for almost two decades. I've never seen this much continuity coming back in that there's 22 starters coming back. All 22 guys, right? All 11 on offense, all 11 on defense are coming back. And most of them are in that same contract window. A lot of those guys are veterans. They're signed through the 2026 season. In fact, I looked it up yesterday. There's only four guys on the roster as of right now that didn't spend at least some time with the Colts last year, either on their active roster or on their practice squad. So they are very much team run it back right now. So that's a long-winded answer of saying, yes, the roster's in a good spot. And again, if there ever was a year to move up and feel good about adding a playmaker and more difference makers to an already solid roster, this would be the year to do it.
Yeah, and who knows how people would be feeling up there in Indianapolis if that fourth down had gone differently against Houston in Week 18, but it didn't. And they're picking where they're picking here at 15 in our media mock draft. So you're on the clock. Which direction do the Colts go?
Yeah, so in saying all of that, you know, Chris Ballard has had six opportunities to draft in the first round. He's been with the Colts since 2007 as their general manager, pulling the levers on draft day. Four times he's either moved back or moved out of the first round altogether. So he's never moved up in the first round. I'll believe it when I see it when it comes to that. Just sticking with precedent and history as far as his draft mindset is concerned. So with that in mind, you talk about receiver. Another area of need for the Colts is to shore up that very young secondary. And I think they're going to take advantage of getting a playmaker in here out of Alabama. And I think the Colts might draft Tarion Arnold, again, a cornerback that has notable experience on both sides, inside and outside, led the SEC with 17 pass breakups. He had five picks and might be in line to be one of those cornerbacks. Again, it's early. He would be a rookie,
but a guy that could follow and shadow some of these top receivers the Colts are going to play both outside the division and inside the division now with, you know, Stephon Diggs and Calvin Ridley in Tennessee. I think it's an important position for the Colts to address, considering how young they've been the last couple of years in the secondary, especially at the cornerback spot.
Yeah, quite frankly, I would have been surprised if you took someone else, Matt. Not that, you know, that's not a possibility, but that is kind of, I think, who Jaguar fans would expect Indianapolis to take at this point, because we've got our eye on corner potentially at 17 as well. But we'll find out how it plays out tomorrow night and beyond. And Matt Taylor, the Colts radio play-by-play voice, can be found on the Twitter or X platform at Maytay Colts, spelled just like it sounds. Matt, can't wish you luck, you know, being a division rival and all that, but we do appreciate the time this morning and enjoy the draft.
No, it's my pleasure. And just real quick, I mean, I know a lot of your audience is probably anticipating what the Colts are going to do, because the Jaguars are there at 17, Colts are at 15. Both teams have similar needs, wide receiver and cornerback, so it's a really important time of the draft for both teams.
No doubt about that. One thing I don't anticipate, these two teams trading with each other, all right? Matt, all the best. We'll talk to you soon.
All right, thanks, guys.
Thank you, buddy. Let's get the lowdown on Terrion Arnold.
Terrion Arnold, cornerback, Alabama.
He throws one long into traffic, intercepted by Alabama, intercepted by the Crimson Tide's Terrion Arnold. He'll spin through traffic. He's around the 40 to the near sideline, 43-yard line. Terrion Arnold.
As physically gifted as any corner in the 2024 draft class, Terrion Arnold can be a difference maker in both the pass and run games. He's versatile in coverage and has the ability to fit either a man or zone scheme. His technique could use refining, but he has all the tools to be a high-level NFL corner.
All right, there you have it. Terrion Arnold goes to the Colts, the second of the top two perceived cornerbacks in this draft, which brings us to the pick directly in front of Jacksonville's. The Seattle Seahawks are on the clock. Dick Fain joining us from 93.3 KJR up in Seattle, where he works with Dave Softy Mahler. Dick, good morning. Thanks for the time. How are you? I guess I got to punch him up. Hey, Dick, how are you, buddy?
I'm doing well.
Other than that, man, you know, it's been flawless this morning, as you could expect. So up in the Pacific Northwest, like, who do the Seahawk fans covet, do you think? Knowing that you're picking at 16, you don't know exactly what's going to fall to you. What do you think is on the top of Seahawk fans' wish list right now?
Well, I'll tell you, the Seahawk fans that cross over with Husky fans, and that is not a 100% crossover, because there are Duck fans and there are Cougar fans that are also Seahawk fans, but the Husky fans want Michael Penix Jr., the guy that just led them to the national championship, the guy that they think is the guy that I think is the greatest quarterback in Husky history. And I believe is getting way too much negative attention over the injuries that we never, ever saw in 2 years at the University of Washington. So that's who a majority of Seahawk fans want. And this place would erupt. Every sports bar in Seattle would erupt if they took Michael Penix Jr. Now, that being said, I don't think they're going to do that. I think they do like Geno Smith, at least for the time being. And then they just traded for Sam Howell as well. So bringing in a quarterback in Penix that is the same age as Sam Howell, actually, I think a few months older, actually, than Sam Howell is, probably isn't the direction John Schneider is going to go. But that's who they want.
Our guy Mark Brunell might have a word or two about the best quarterback in Washington history.
Oh, I love my guy Mark Brunell. I went to Pauly Sy class with Mark Brunell when he decided to show up. I think he went for the first class. He had a girl on either side, and then he went to the last class right before the final, and that's the only time I ever saw him in the classroom.
All right, notes have been taken and will be referenced, okay? I love that.
So now we put you on the clock here. You mentioned some of the directions they could go, but with Seattle on the clock here at 16, what's the pick?
The pick is going to be defensive end from your neck of the woods, Jared Verse from Florida State.
Interesting. Jared Verse v. Dallas Turner. What's the why Verse among all the edges that are still available?
Yeah, I think, you know, what I like about Verse is I think that any weakness that he has is fixable. I think there are more, more technique weaknesses than it's anything that's in his skill set. And, boy, you know, the new coach of the Seattle Seahawks, Mike McDonald, he is all about fine-tuning things. He is all about technique. The great thing about the Ravens' defense over the last couple of years is yes, they had some very good talent. There's no question about that. They had Patrick Queen and others. But just the fact that they were just on a string with each other, they were so finely tuned, that defense. And I think Jared Verse would fit in perfectly opposite Boye Mafe. Right now, you've got Uchenna Nwosu, who's opposite Boye Mafe. Nwosu went out in the middle of the season last year, and the Seahawks defense never recovered after Nwosu went out. Well, Nwosu's got a big payday coming up in 2025. I don't think he's going to be on this team past 2024. And Verse would be a perfect guy to just fit right in opposite Boye Mafe. You would have two young edge rushers, really the likes that we haven't seen in Seattle for a long time. Even the LOB teams, guys, I mean, you're not talking about 12, 13, 14 sack guys on those teams. You were talking about just good, solid Cliff Averill, Michael Bennett type players on those teams. And where I think, you know, Jared Verse upside could be a perennial pro bowler.
Michael Bennett made a lot of money getting 8 sacks a year, I swear to you.
Yes, he did.
He really did. All right, Dick Fain makes the selection of Jared Verse. You're going to find Dick on Twitter or X at his name, Dick Fain, F-A-I-N, from 93.3 KJR up in Seattle. And Jared Verse off the board. By the way, not only Seahawk fans would be happy if you selected Michael Penix right in front of the Jags. I'm just saying. You know, if you want to make two fan bases happy, you go ahead and knock that one out. Dick, we do appreciate the time and the insight into what Seattle might be thinking. Enjoy the draft, and thanks again, buddy.
You too, guys. Thanks.
All right, there you go. Dick Fain, KJR, up in Seattle. Let me recap it, Tony. We'll have just a minute or two here to reflect on what went down. And in mentioning these people, this is me thanking them for coming on today. Taylor Dahl selected Caleb Williams for the Bears. John Keim of ESPN in Washington took Jaden Daniels for the Commanders. It was Megan Ottolini of WEEI in Boston going Drake May for the Patriots. Arizona's Bo Brack took Marvin Harrison Jr. We had Mike Harmon of Fox Sports Radio selecting Malik Nabers going to the L.A. Chargers. The Giants' Chris Bisignano of Giant Insider Podcast. Rome Odunze was the selection there. Joe Alt, the offensive tackle out of Notre Dame, goes to Tennessee thanks to Tyler Rowland of the Locked On Titans Podcast. Leatu Latu, the edge rusher out of UCLA, the selection of D. Orlando Ledbetter for the Atlanta Journal-Constitution for the Falcons. Taylor back for the Bears. Second pick, she took Byron Murphy, the defensive tackle out of Texas. Then it was Georgia tight end Brock Bowers going to the Jets, courtesy of Brian Costello, the New York Post. J.J. McCarthy falls to the Vikings in this mock. Julia Daniels of KARE 11 Sports jumped on him. It was Andrew Mason of DenverSports.com selecting Bo Nix out of Oregon. Probably the most surprising selection here. Going to the Broncos at 12. Vic Tafer of The Athletic selected Quinyon Mitchell, the cornerback out of Toledo for the Raiders. It was ESPN Baton Rouge's Matt Moscona who took Olu Fashanu, the Penn State tackle. Terrion Arnold goes to the Colts, courtesy of play-by-play voice Matt Taylor. And you just heard Dick Fain select Jared Verse. Tony, if it fell this way, Dallas Turner has fallen to 17. You're starting to see him slide in mock drafts. I don't know if there's something out there, or it just is happenstance that we got to pick a guy, and we're picking this guy and not this guy. If the Jags were here, as somebody said on Twitter a moment ago, if it felt like this, I'd be trading back, which is why that's been my number one choice for the Jags at 17, because it's going to fall like this. This is how I like, put it this way. I don't think they're going to get in the top 10 and get a receiver, and I think the top two corners are going to be off the board. You're going to have the choice. Could you take Brian Thomas? Yes. Could you take a very good offensive lineman? Yes. Could you get an edge rusher? Absolutely. Maybe Johnny Newton, the defensive tackle. I'll take any of them about six picks later for me anyway. So, Frank, we'll have the pick. Who would you take for the Jags if they're like this? I'd probably go Brian. I would go Faletanu. I would think if they stuck and picked, it'd be Brian Thomas, but it could be like a Kool-Aid McKinstry here as well.
Those would be the two names I'd be looking at, Faletanu or the DN. Like, that's where I would be looking at this. I'd probably lean DN.
Would you? I would go Faletanu. He was my top pick yesterday. I don't think the Jags are going to take him if he's sitting there, even if the board falls like this. Man, how nice would it be to get Michael Penix in there too as well? And even though all it is Jared Verse maybe then falling to you. It's not that you're going to take Jared Verse. It just is one more guy. You know, it could actually be better. Like, if people really covet Dallas Turner, maybe having Verse gone and having Turner stand out from the remaining edge rushers could draw the biggest market there. But I would take Faletanu here. I would think if they stuck and picked, it would either be like a Kool-Aid or maybe Brian Thomas.
So. Yeah. Dallas Turner changed the calculus on this so much, right? Because he is a player that you see ranked in that top 8 to 10 on so many boards.
All the time.
Right? And if he's still there at 17, that's the argument we were having 2 weeks ago about Jared Verse. Right? It's the same argument, but with a player that maybe has a higher grade in most people's mind than Jared Verse had at that point. It'd be hard to bypass Dallas Turner if he's still there.
Dylan, great job.
Yes, sir. 2003 was the first media mock draft, by the way.
2003, so this is 22, right?
22 or 23.
Because then 22 would have been the 20th annual, right? Because if we started in 2003, this is the 22nd
that's correct. Yes.
Annual. Media mock draft. Every pick has always been right, by the way. Just so you know. So, Frank, no pressure. Get us a good one. All right. Frank Franchi, voice of the Jaguars, will be selecting for the team. Helmets and heels are on the clock, ladies and gentlemen. Lauren Brooks, Mia O'Brien, and, of course, our great friend Taylor Dahl, who made both selections for the Bears today, Caleb Williams and Byron Murphy. Hope you enjoyed our latest installment of the 1010XL Media Mock Draft, at least the first half of round one. Helmets and heels going to do a great job. They'll take you all the way through pick 32. And then we can all laugh about how wrong all these selections were when it all ends up. So that does it for us. For Tony Smith, for Dylan Denmark, our fantastic guests, everybody behind the scenes like Gibby, who's helping us put together these profiles and all that stuff. Fashion new. Just remember that tomorrow night when that selection gets made. I'm Mike Dempsey for Tony Smith and Dylan Denmark. We'll be back tomorrow on draft day for your Jacksonville Jaguars here on Jaguars Today on 1010XL and 92.5 FM.